and welcome to Starter Set. My name, Ed Sylvester. This is not Sam Bradley. And welcome to the show that rewrites myths and legend. That's right, obviously, first thing to address, no Sam this week. Unfortunately, he is still under the weather. Get well soon, Sam. Look, so what we decided to do, instead of depriving you from a podcast for 2 weeks running, I would jump on the mic, share with you a little bit of the insights that I've gathered from running the game for a one DM, one player experience, because it is quite different from that of a group. Maybe give you a little bit of insight into where we are going from a story perspective. So there may be some, not spoilers, but teasers, like a teaser trailer coming up. And I think that's about all that I want to share. We may get to... Oh, yes! That's... And one extra thing, which I'm going to leave to the end, but I'm very excited for. And it should change the way that we're going to run the show for a better experience that includes you more as listeners. Okay, so the fire is lit and there are stories left to tell. All right, so I say stories left to tell. Obviously, that's not what we're doing today. Today we're going to be talking a little bit more about what's been going on with basically the experience of Beowulf Age of Heroes so far. We're, what, four or five episodes into this now? So there's a good sort of 8 hours worth of content out there. And how that's kind of all going. So this is going to be really strange because I don't have anybody to bounce off of. So I'm just going to basically have a big brain dump of words, which is ultimately what a podcast is. And then hopefully this is something that you guys will enjoy. So, first thing, let's talk about running a game one-on-one and how that changes the dynamic of what you would usually do with D&D. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a little bit of sort of this is how I used to do it with a group, and then this is how I do it now with Sam and through this platform that we do it as a recorded show. So I used to be a DM who prepares a lot. So I used to do a lot of prep work, get loads of different maps, have loads of different lore bombs, and lots of, you know, pre-generated combats that are ready to go and the map's already drawn out and things like that. But ultimately what this kind of became was an exercise in inefficiency. Because when you've got a group of players, I think you have such variation in knowing how they will respond to various situations that you don't know what content that you've created is going to be used. So instead of doing that, this is a bit of a weird insight into how that I used to prep for my games. So my games, you've obviously had a little bit of the main crew that I used to run with the Campaign Chronicles piece. So they were a crew of about 5 to 6 players. And each week we would get to a position where after about 4 to 5 hours, we would sort of pull it to a close. And then I've got another week to figure out what's going to happen. And the way that I would ultimately figure those out was pretty much spending maybe 10 to 15 minutes a day whilst I was getting ready for work in the shower, generating story ideas and voices, which must be a very strange thing to experience from outside the bathroom to hear. But that ended up being the extent of prep work that I would do. It would be a very loose, okay, here are the story beats that I want to hit, and I've drawn out or I've prepped a map for this place beforehand. So I've there is a bit of prep work that was previously done in terms of a map of a world and the idea of a city. But we're talking like that was the beginning of a campaign, maybe 3 to 4 hours work. And once that's done, that's done. And then you can sort of give those points. Because what I found you have to play with a lot as a DM is time. If you present a problem for a group of players, they will discuss for an extended period of time, longer than you give them, ways to overcome that problem. And a lot of the time, that solution to that problem will be massively different to what you basically gave them. Things that are puzzles, for example, that you create and you put in front of somebody and go, here's a puzzle, this is the solution, and I think I know the solution. And bear in mind here, you've got to run with a little bit of, do you allow your players to use meta knowledge to solve a problem, or do they do it all with their character knowledge? And when I'm talking about traps and puzzles, people aren't... You may have a player who is playing a character with a low intelligence stat, but who on in their real world personage, I'm not sure that's the real word, but as a person, they're incredibly intelligent and, you know, love problem solving and fixing puzzles and things like that. So they will just straight up be able to figure it out. And I'm okay with that in that run, because ultimately it's very difficult to draw that line between the two. But as I was saying, if you present a problem to 6 people, each of them comes up with variations on a solution, they all then have to have a conversation about it. You know what I mean? They all have to sit down and go, okay, so what are your thoughts? And then one person, maybe you might have 3 ideas at the beginning. Those ideas then create a branching idea off the back of it. So they'll go, oh, I like that idea, but then also we can do X. We can, you know, release a load of chickens to create a distraction, or we can do my idea and your idea combined, and we can hit up both areas at the same time. And those collective problem-solving points are much more, not necessarily creative, but they're much creative than one person solving a problem. They're much more typically flamboyant and boisterous, because you've got so many more people at the table, so there's a lot more voices contributing to that fix of that specific problem. When it's one-on-one, and because I know Sam, obviously we hang out outside of doing this podcast, but even if you clock up the amount of hours that we've just hung out doing this podcast, it's a lot of time that we've spent together. So I know Sam, and I know how he's going to react to certain situations. So if I put a problem in front of Sam, an Erdwolf, I will know that, yes, there is Erdwolf's problem solving, but there is also Sam's problem solving as well that comes into through that character. So, and it's very difficult to separate your, you know, to do the perfect acting piece as a role player, because ultimately a lot of us are not actors. We like to dabble in being actors, but we don't have neither the time, the resources, or the training to put into full, I am the character. I've completely forgotten the acting style where you ultimately take on exactly who that character is and you live it. That's really annoying, because you probably as a listener are screaming going, it's this, I can't remember what it is. But we don't have time to do that as role players, because a lot of us have maybe jobs, separate lives, kids, family, all that kind of thing, and it's not our bread earner, right? This is a side piece for most people that do this, unless you're very, very lucky. So that problem solving and that discussion when you're playing one-on-one goes out the window, because the only person that Sam or Erdwolf has to speak to and get a yes from is himself, right? So what that does is it meant that when I came to play this game and we sat down to do session one and we started playing, we ploughed through content that I honestly thought we were going to have maybe three episodes coming out of. So that first episode that we had and we've put up, I thought was going to take about three episodes, and I had that much space to do. Luckily, I had sort of prepped the idea and the loose story beats of what that was going to look like, but it meant that I have now had to change up my DMing style to fix that problem. And it's one where I'm actually now doing a lot more preparation, because to give Sam the tools that he needs to fix any problems that he's overcoming, he needs more information, because there aren't four or five others also taking on the words that I'm saying and adding their own colours to that canvas that is the world. It's just Sam. And when you have a group and they create that picture, that's where the collective storytelling piece comes together, because I could say there is a large church that stands before you with two bell towers at either end, and out of those six people, they will all draw that in their mind in a slightly different way. So when they feed that back to me through conversation, through questioning, I can then paint that picture in a way that becomes more solid, and they know exactly where things are going. When it's just me giving that to Sam, we don't have that backwards and forth, not in the same way. It's harder to basically draw in the lines that you originally outlined. So what that means is I've started writing down big, larger chunks of text to define what's happening within the world for, number one, also for a narrative experience as well, so that you guys as listeners, and this might lead into it because obviously this is a show and it's not a home game, but we want to make it as home game as possible and as we feel, which I'm going to come to in a minute later on. So that is something that's been quite fun to overcome, actually, to write all these things down to a point where now, before each show, I have about two A4 pages worth of content that I can fall back on and read as descriptives. And also it allows me to add more dialect to my descriptions as well. So different words, rather than just relying on the same ones that we go to over and over again to describe, let's say red, you'll always say deep scarlet or something like that. Yes, it's a great way of describing red, but if that's your go-to way of describing red every time, it gets dull. So that's been really interesting, actually, writing down and prepping, doing these before each show. So that's one side of things that's been fun, to relearn DMing in that way, I guess. The other point that kind of comes from the one-on-one experience is, and we've talked a bit about this already in the show, is there isn't anyone else from a PC level that allows Erdwolf, Sam's character, to be able to say, I am feeling this, or express that way, or to say things like, you see Erdwolf kick the ground and stomp off 10 feet and cross his arms. That, as a description, allows us to know that, okay, something that's happened has put Erdwolf on edge and he is low-level simmering in anger. So what we've started to do from the beginning of this is, well, how far do we get into? Two, three episodes, I think, is do a bit more, what's Erdwolf feeling? What are his thoughts? What's the main point of worry at this moment in time, or contention, or aspiration? And that's basically made me reevaluate how, as a DM, that's not something that you just have to sit there on one-on-one. I think I didn't used to use that as much, because in a group of five, you don't necessarily want to feel like somebody is getting more attention. Yes, everybody needs that moment in the sun, But actually, I think you can probably do a bit more of that, or I know I will be doing a bit more of that when I go back to DMing a larger group and ask more, what are you feeling, or what's your aspiration, or what's your fear right now? You know, highlight specific emotions and ask them what their current stance in regards to that emotion is. And it doesn't have to be a big line from your player. It can be a throwaway single sentence, but it helps everybody else at the table also kind of go, oh yeah, I should be thinking about this. So it keeps you all kind of in that zone. Admittedly, the games that I used to run, I like running them kind of like Saturday morning cartoons, in that I'm not overly political. You have got some political elements going on in there, but ultimately it's a, here is your bad guy. The bad guy has certain types of powers, you know, transformation or hypnosis or things like that that have to be overcome. But politically dense things that you spend more time... Basically, I like to use the game as a position of escape from ultimately what we have at the moment is a very heavy world. So I quite like to get my games to run a bit more Saturday morning cartoon, so there is a more freedom that's going on with that. You know what I mean? We ramp up the spectacular and the over the top and the magic and all of that kind of thing. As a setting, Beowulf doesn't lend itself to Saturday morning cartoon, or at least I feel it doesn't. Some other people might have sat down with this and gone, yep, it's ticking that box for me. But it does make me feel, and that's ultimately because the setting itself has such sparse civilization and populace. I mean, I think Ed Wolf and Sam also kind of felt a bit of a shock when they came into our first four episodes before meeting a singular person or seeing a singular sign of life. So that's quite an interesting position to change from, where you've got this bombastic kind of kaleidoscope of different characters, colours and things like that. And don't get me wrong, the characters that are coming and that are in the show so far, I mean, you can already tell Brynjolf's clearly mildly insane and ramped up. Number one, because I find doing subtlety in voices actually quite difficult, and they all eventually just become my voice with a very slight, just go, as Ed sort of fallen down the stairs recently and now he's talking a bit funny. No, it's just that I can't do subtlety, so I have to really ramp up whatever I'm trying to do. So that's been fun to get along with. This is actually going on a lot long. Now that I've opened my mouth, I realise that we're 18 minutes into this and I'm still going, which is way more than I originally anticipated. I thought this was going to last about 10 to 13 minutes. So this is good. I feel good with this. So that's that point. Let's then shift on to what I'm looking to try and do with part of the story. Look, if you want everything to be fresh and free, and the first time you experience it is as Erdwolf experiences it, then I'll talk about this for maybe 5 minutes, okay? So it's 19 minutes, I'm going to talk about it for 5 minutes. Spoilers potentially coming in here, so just skip along and don't worry about it, okay? If you want to find out a little bit of what's going to happen, then stick around and we'll see. I'm not going to be like, this is definitely going to happen, or that is definitely going to happen, but we can talk a little bit about the themes that have been popping out. Okay, so those who have stuck around, welcome to my secret corner. The story, as it's going, is really interesting for me, because I started with a plan to go in a certain direction, which was how we started, obviously, like everything blow up, sort of Sam loses everything, Edwolf loses everything and has to survive, which is allowing me to basically bring in different mechanics as we're running through this, right? Which, excellent. I'm enjoying that part and I think that's working quite nicely. The thing that's part and inherently built into Beowulf as part of this setting is the bad guy and the, you know, the threat, whatever that is, as well as the dichotomy of the two religions, not necessarily battling it out, but just that they exist in those areas. And something that I was looking to kind of focus a bit more on was a bit of that dichotomy, but also what happens when you turn away from something that you used to believe in. And what does that mean in a mystical land? So for me, I think I've spoken a lot about this. The way I see a lot of... I'm not a religious person. I think that's probably quite clear if you've listened to the show at all. That doesn't mean that I don't think people should have religion and faith. I think that it does a lot of great things out there, and it means that there's a lot of good things that happen. It's just that I have never felt that personal calling to anything. I just try and be good. So, you know, be a nice person so that nice stuff happens to you, which ultimately is flawed because are you being nice? Because anyway, that's another podcast entirely. So part of that was basically we were going to get to a larger settlement where the Earl or Jarl or Queen, whoever was running it, had made a deal at one point with a hedge witch type who has basically let that deal pass, right? They haven't kept up with their side of the deal because they've gone from a faith that is a lot of the time based on like sacrificial elements, giving tributes, occasional blood magics and things like that. And that sort of mysticism of trade and hearth and home has moved from that to one which is the Christian faith as it's presented in the, you know, in the 5th century, which is a very different Christian faith that we now know and has also been throughout history, which is one of no matter what, you know, no matter what you've done, or if you can't get to Valhalla or you can't seek glory in battle, or you're still, you can still be accepted. And given those options, I think especially if you want to live a relatively peaceful life where human civilization is sparse, having a war and scrapping is pretty bad. You know what I mean? Like, there's no way that you're going to have a continued growth if you know, your best potter dies because he wants to go to a good afterlife, so he starts a fight. So the thoughts around that was going to be a betrayed hedge witch who has turned to a little bit of a sort of a hag swamp witch and was cursing the land, and one of the followers was going to be her sister. That has now somewhat changed into something maybe a bit more devious and malign that's been sitting underneath the island that Eardwulf is on for a while, and has been interrupted because of something, because of some act. I have yet to figure out what that is, so I can't spoil that for you. But its influence is now being felt upon that island. You've experienced it before in the show, I can tell you that, and potentially some of the things that Eardwulf has interacted with have been changed in some way because of this thing, because of this unknown malice that lies beneath or within the island. There was a bit of a clue there. It also is, may also be because I have been working on a voice that I really quite like for that character. There's a lot of undead and unreleased warriors and creatures that are woven throughout Norse mythology that reflect those things. So there's a little bit of insight into what that's going to look like. And I think that's about the 5 minutes. So I'm going to move on. So those who have decided to fast forward and go, I don't want to listen to spoilers, hopefully, welcome back. So that then brings me to this final piece, right? Which is going forwards and experiencing the show from a... We want you as our listeners to kind of feel like you have a seat at the table. Like, yes, you're listening and watching, but also you can have some influence into the world and how that runs. Now, the way that we want to do this is through choice, basically. We have quite a nice advantage that because it's me and Sam, there isn't a huge amount of people that we have to kind of steer in a certain way. We're a small operation, so we're agile, so we can change very quickly. So what we want to do is present periodically you as listeners with choices that will affect in-game experiences, okay? So, for example, the episode that we were going to record this week, I gave Sam a choice. He has already made that choice, but it was, would you like to stay and finish this boat with Brynjolf, which could take a certain amount of time, or would you like to press on through the woods? Now, what we want to do and what we'd like to do is basically turn that sort of decision over to you as an audience. And the way that we're going to do that is through our Discord community. The reason why we want to do it via Discord is, number one, less data issues, just in terms of going, hey, you liked this, so now you're going to want to buy this, and ads and tracking of data and all those things that we're seeing become more and more prevalent within our society. So less of that. As a community as well, it feels more... it feels closer. It feels like you can... Basically, you can ask us a question and we can get back to you in a way that we feel allows us to represent ourselves and our thoughts on basically many, many different things in a way that's right for us. So keep an eye out on that. I'm going to ask Sam, because I don't do the uploads, I'm going to ask Sam to basically put the link to our Discord channel in the show notes. So don't already do that, then that should be in those show notes. And then we're going to run basically those A or B choices within there, and you as listeners can then basically influence what we're going to do as the outcome of wherever situation we're in. And I think as a little taster, I think the first one that we're going to do of that is, will Brynjolf become an official follower or not? Which should be quite fun. Because I've statted him up, so he's ready to go if that's the way that we go down. That won't be coming now. That will be coming after next week's show. But it should be a good time. All right. Well, look, I've spoken now for way longer than I originally anticipated I would, which is, hey, there's only a certain amount of time before you're just a madman talking alone in a room, so I'm going to stop doing that. Thank you for sticking around. Thank you so much for your continued support as listeners. Sam hopefully should be better next week. He's physically fine. He's just been like taken down with a really bad flu. There's a fair amount of it going around in the UK at the moment. I actually got hit with a small sort of subsect of it the weekend before. So get well soon, Sam. Love you, buddy. And listeners, thank you so much for dropping by. We'll see you next week, where we will have so much adventure. Lovely. Bye.